Welcome to Dish and Nutrition Podcast, where we dish on trending nutrition topics, all the while making it easy and fun to understand. I'm your host, Sarah Williams.
Don't say that.
That's not weird.
Don't say that.
We've been doing this for like a year.
Ugh. Wow. That's wild.
I know.
But first, you need to say, and I'm
Emma Bolin. This is my last episode.
Stop. This is so sad. I figured it'd be fun to have like a different intro.
I know.
Oh, I'm so sad. This is Emma's last episode. Who knows what the future will hold?
So true.
Air Force is really small. Who knows what the future holds for Dish and Nutrition? I don't know, but it's going to be fine. And we can appreciate the past and not be scared of the future and still look forward to it.
Love it.
Yep.
Great mindset.
I like that. All right. So today I do want to say... Sorry, my brain's buffering. Okay, first I want to say at the end of this episode, I am going to state that this is the end of season one.
Ooh, I
figured,
because I like that.
I always saw this when I'm uploading the episodes. It's like season blah, blah, yeah. Episode blah, blah. And I thought, you know what? This is a really good ending to a season one.
Yeah.
You know, you're going off and doing different things. I'm also going into a season of like going and doing different things.
Yeah.
So I figured this would be a good stopping point for season one. And then I will come back with this brand new season two with different things to talk about, maybe different guests. Like, it'll be brand new, but
I'm taking PTO
and maybe restructuring, reframing, kind of attacking it. I'm not quitting. This is not me saying I'm resigning, but I am saying this is the end of season one and it's been fun.
It's been a good ride.
32 episodes.
That's awesome.
I feel like that's a lot of time well spent talking about nutrition and getting to spend time with you as well.
I love it.
So today's episode, the season one finale, if you will, is meal prepping and planning with ADHD.
That's so good.
This is also why I love taking clients, because I am more open and I get to see different things that people, you know, need help with. And, you know, it never really crossed my mind about nutrition with ADHD, because I'm personally someone who doesn't have ADHD.
I have attention deficit disorder. So
you have ADD.
I don't have the H, but.
But it's like things that I never would have thought about. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. That's, like there is a population that might want to hear this. And I really thought it'd be fun to like go over some tips and tricks on how to handle that if you're someone who does have ADHD. My patient was like, I'm neurospicy and I need help with blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I love that. Let's dive into it.
Spicy. I'm using that.
Neurospicy. So we're going to dive into this. And if you've ever found yourself like forgetting meals, overwhelmed by grocery shopping or relying on takeout because cooking just feels like too big of a task, this episode is for you. It doesn't have to just be for like ADHD population.
Yeah. Meal prepping is, I just feel like, beneficial in so many areas.
Oh my gosh. So I made Justin's.
I saw that. I really liked that video.
Thanks. I was trying to go at like a different angle.
It was good. I liked it.
But because I was like, man, I have to make it the breakfast This is how I show my love, first of all, before people are like, she's in a bad marriage. I do it because I love him and he works very hard for our family. Anyway, I make them and I was like, this is going to take forever. It took 1 hour to make four meals, breakfast, and I had a little bit left over for me and Harper to like snack on throughout
the
week.
Nice.
And I think that one intentional hour does leaps and bounds for the entire week, because then you're not scrambling for multiple hours of what 100%. Should I eat. And then, you know,
you reach for something that
exactly
doesn't make you feel good.
You're going to settle something on that's less nutritious that you probably could have had if you had taken that 1 hour. And this is all in the conversation of able-bodied humans who have the time and accessibility 100%. Of that 1 hour. And I do hold space for very busy people, but 1 hour, that's all I'm asking for. Peeps. Ew, I hate that. I'm gonna cut that.
Peeps.
Okay, let's talk about why meal planning can be challenging for people.
Meal planning?
Yeah, like meal planning and meal prepping. Okay. So I'm gonna get into like meal prep strategies and meal planning little other tips, but like I just kind of want to give the set the scene for people with ADHD.
Well, I'm all ears.
So ADHD affects basically your executive functioning, which means like tasks like organizing, planning, and honestly, even remembering to eat. Yeah. That was actually something that the client that I keep mentioning and inspired this episode, you know, she was telling me like, I genuinely forget to eat. And I'm wow. I love this information. Please keep it coming.
I don't relate.
I've never personally related, but I don't have ADHD. So the common struggles are one, decision fatigue. Too many choices can lead to feeling stuck. And I've heard that a lot is like, I go on TikTok to find a recipe and then I just get overwhelmed because like it's saturated
so much,
which is good and bad for everybody. Uh-huh. And then impulsiveness, the impulsive, I'm trying to say impulsivity. There it is.
There we go.
Sorry. I'm smart. I swear. So that dealing with being impulsive, grabbing quick, like less nutritious options. Yeah. I cannot. I'm going to drive my car into a wall. I cannot talk today.
Really? I feel like you're doing good.
Thanks.
Impulse.
Instead of planning meals. And then time blindness. I have heard a lot of people with ADD and ADHD, they do have like time blindness. So they lose track of time like really easily and they forget to eat until they're starving. And then we know if you've not nourished yourself.
I've definitely done that.
Yeah. Like.
Countless times, actually.
Right. Like you have a slight lunch and then you just gorge out on dinner because there wasn't that equal balance. And then sensory overload, too many steps in cooking can be frustrating for a lot of people, but specifically people in this population. The good news is that meal prepping and planning can be adjusted to fit anyone's needs and work with the brain instead of against it. Because I feel like that's a very common struggle with people who have this is they feel like they're constantly fighting against their natural cues and things. So I really want to work with you instead of against it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some ADHD friendly meal prep strategies that'll set you up for success. All right. So first bracket, if you will, is called rethinking quote unquote traditional meal planning. So I have this as skip rigid plans. So using a flexible grocery list instead of assigning meals to specific days, like having just a large, which will work for some people and some not. Yeah. Like this is going to be very, please pick and choose what works for you on this episode because it's not going to be for everybody. But using like a huge grocery list with just common ingredients that you like to use frequently rather than like, okay, well I have to buy this for this and that for that. Like, that can get really overwhelming too.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then planning for based like your energy days. So ADHD comes with high energy days and low energy days. So having options for both is going to go further. That way you're at least prepared. If you are having one of those low energy days, you can at least have a backup plan. And it's okay if you, I don't know, choose a less nutritious option. But at least you're being intentional and planning for that low intention, like low energy day. Theme nights.
Ooh, I love theme nights.
Theme nights. This is a common recommendation I usually use. Either using the name of the day, like
Taco Tuesday,
Taco Tuesday, Pasta Wednesday, Breakfast for Dinner Friday. Like, just knowing like, oh, okay, it's Tuesday, so we're having tacos.
It's easy. You don't even have to like use your brain power.
Exactly.
Yeah, I do
and
that.
And you could do it for 2 weeks. Yeah. And then that way that sets you up for, you know, multiple weeks at a time and you don't have to like, because I mean, if I eat the same meal each week, I would get bored of it, but some people don't. But doing it in the amount of time that you think fits best for, you know, pleasing everyone in your family too. Because you don't want your kid to be like, oh my gosh, it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
I have to have another taco.
I love that.
And then batch cooking, but only if it works for you. So make and freeze meal components. You don't have to do full meals.
Yeah.
To keep variety. I will also say this kind of also works with buying like frozen veggies or fruits at that matter, like, and just keeping them stocked in your fridge. That way you have meal components that you can just like throw into your dishes and add nutrition that way. And then using a meal rotation. So list 5 to 10 of your favorite meals, like go-to meals, and then honestly keep them posted in like right next to your pantry, on your fridge, wherever in your kitchen, just using that as basically a template for your grocery shopping and meal planning preps.
I like that.
Throw dirt at it and just say, what's today?
Which one?
That'd be fun, actually.
Actually,
just have a I'm gonna copyright that right now.
A game. A nutrition game. That's actually a really good idea.
I like those. Those are good.
I feel like they're not scary.
No, they're not.
They're doable. And you can integrate them as quickly or slowly as you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So to make cooking easier, you can keep a list of low effort meals. So things that require a little prep and are easy to throw together. And I say list because ADHD is all about, you know, if you see it, you'll remember it. Uh-huh. So I feel like keeping that next to whatever plan, template, grocery list you have, that also helps too. And also using convenience foods without guilt. Pre-cut veggies, rotisserie chicken, yes, frozen meals, canned beans, quote unquote processed foods that are always deemed bad. Those can work to your advantage.
Oh, 100%. If I ever don't feel like using brain power, I'll just like do pasta with chicken and like cheese.
Love.
And call it a day.
If you mean look in my fridge right now, I go to Aldi and they have like this packet of already cooked rotisserie chicken, but they shredded it for you. So easy.
I love those.
So easy. And it's just as nutritious as if you did it, you just don't have to do the cooking.
Exactly. I do love their rotisserie chicken.
And then one pan and sheet pan meals. Obviously less cleanup, less stress. I know someone who does a couple of one pan and sheet pan meals. You can follow her. It's like nutritional Sarah or something like that. Loser, but she does have a lot of them on her page because
I love sheet pan meals.
Sheet pan meals are my crap.
I love cooking, but the cleaning of like five pans
so bad
is what like steers me away.
I should have you over after on like film days.
I can't even imagine.
I'm not even kidding. I can't see my sink. Because I just like throw it in because I'm trying to like crank out as many videos as possible. 100%. And Justin comes home and he's like, was it a filming day?
I love like, that.
Yeah, so sorry.
Which sometimes even the thought of knowing like I'm doing it, like the other day I made pad thai and I had to do like three or four different.
Oh, yeah. That's just intense like dish.
It was so worth it, but I don't want to clean these.
Pad thai sounds so good though.
It's so good.
What recipe did you use?
I'll send it to you.
Yeah. Homemade?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I do this because Nutritional Sarah taught me this. I added actually like frozen peas and some other frozen stuff.
I love that.
Just to like
beef it up.
Oof it up.
Yeah. Get that nutrition in there and with things that you like. It doesn't, whatever it looks like to you. And then also pairing your meals with an enjoyable activity. So like cooking while you have your favorite podcast on or your favorite music or a TV show in the background. That sounds really elementary, I feel like, but I feel
I romanticize it.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Like I'll turn on bossa nova music you know, it's I'm in a little Italian village for the evening in my head, and I don't know, I feel like that goes a little bit it goes further than what people might give it credit for.
It's like I feel like a lot of people dread cooking.
I think honestly it's the dread that outweighs the actual doing.
No, 100%.
As to why people choose not to do it.
That's how I feel about working out. So
no, 1,000%. When I do it every time, I fear the rumors are true. I feel great.
Oh, 100%.
But it's the leading up to that I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just don't want to do it.
No, I know it's so weird. And I know people feel that way about cooking because that's how my youngest sister is. But I love cooking. I know you love cooking too.
Oh, I very much like now that it's part of like my job and stuff, I make sure to have intentional evenings where I don't have my phone because like it takes away from the experience and I just enjoy the art of it.
Yes.
Or like I wouldn't be able to do my job.
It's like my version of painting.
I love that.
Seriously.
And do you like baking?
I love baking.
I see you as a baker.
Have you ever noticed that you do not have anxiety when you're cooking? I mean, maybe you do if you're like, timer's going off.
Yes, chef.
But
About like life.
When you're like chopping onions, like you're just kind of like in the, at least for me, but I feel like I've talked to a lot of people. My dad says
that's so true.
Because like the left side of your brain cannot coexist. I don't know. My dad was telling me about it. Anyway, so if you feel.
Wait, that's so true. Mm-hmm,
if you feel anxious.
Yeah.
And you use your creativeness. I don't know, like the right side of
your brain.
It has
to be quiet for a little bit while you're doing that.
Yeah.
That is such a good
point.
Just
try to like pay attention to that.
I definitely will. Cool.
Random. I know that has something to do with meal prepping. I don't even know.
No, but I mean, it definitely plays into a role of like mental health and then obviously ADHD, which is, you know, part of the brain.
Silencing your brain. Yeah.
Huh.
It's cool.
That is really cool. Mm-hmm. That makes me really happy, actually.
Do you like baking?
No.
Really?
It's which it's is so really precise. Funny. This is going to be really funny to say because I love science. It's too much science.
Because like one extra teaspoon of baking powder.
Yes. Yeah. I love cooking. I hate baking because I love being like, ooh, a little splash of this will be good.
Ratatouille. Yeah.
But you can't do that with like making cupcakes because it's like you put an ounce too much of baking soda. So everything is going to explode.
Blow up.
No, literally.
Yeah.
No but I could so see you as like a baker. Okay, so the next section is called reducing decision fatigue. So basically, one, using a grocery template, meaning always buy the same staples, whether it be protein, carbs, veggies, and snacks, and then have a extra slot on that part of like fun stuff to add that you wouldn't normally. But like it makes it less overwhelming. Mm-hmm. You know where, if you go into a store, you know exactly where it's at. So, like, there's no surprising of your brain.
And it almost comes, like, habitual.
Yeah.
Like, every Sunday I go, and every Sunday I know I'm getting eggs. Exactly. And I know I'm getting milk. You know what I mean?
I mean, even on my Walmart app, because I do grocery pickup, it has, like, my items, quote, unquote. Mm. And that aspect, whoever designed that app knew what they were doing. Because it's so nice, because it just puts the things that I most commonly buy. Yeah. And I just add from that.
And which is nice, too, because then you're like, oh, I forgot to get this last time. Yep. I'm going to add it this time. I like that.
And then limiting your choices. I know we said like the internet is saturated with recipes, which is great for when you're looking for something different. But that's the issue with this specific population. So instead of asking, what should I eat? Ask, do I want option A or B? That way it just like really lowers the amount of brain juice that you have to use on it. And then number three for this little bracket is write down meal ideas in a visible place. You have to see it. This is very important.
To remember.
A whiteboard, a fridge list, or a meal planning app. Which the meal planning app I recommend if someone has not control because it's not something that's like, you know, you have to wrangle it in. But something who has experience with their ADHD diagnosis and they know their habits and stuff because a meal planning app can get buried in all the different apps. I mean, I know for certain I have a ton of apps that I don't even look at. Same. And it can get lost. It's just as bad as having it covered in the back of my pantry, basically.
100%.
So now we're going to talk about ADHD friendly meal prep hacks. So this will be just a few more. This isn't going to be a super long episode. Go out with a small reusable, like I want people to listen to this podcast and be like, oh my gosh, what did she say? And like go back as a ref, like a resource.
Easy, quick, straight to the point.
Exactly. Yeah. So ADHD friendly meal prep hacks. One, prep in small bursts. So like chop the veggies while you're waiting for coffee or cook extra rice while you're already making rice for whatever dinner you're making. Yeah, like set yourself up for success. If you're like, well, I'm already devoting this time and adding on to or taking away time from somewhere else is going to be too much. So just do a little bit more than what you're doing and then have a, you know, backlogged, if you will.
I like that. I do that for like dinners.
Yeah. Same.
I'll honestly just make a little extra because I'm like, well.
And then storing food in clear containers. You heard that. Out of sight equals out of mind. So making food visible and at the front of your fridge, like don't push it to the back. Be very intentional with where you put it. Clear containers. Because they just get lost. Because we have leftovers right now in our fridge. And it's in a styrofoam box. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is at this point. Like, I just need to throw it out. And then, boom, food waste. No. Could have used it for something, I'm sure. Out of sight, out of mind. Well, our base housing refrigerators, they're awful. And I, no offense, Air Force, but let's invest in better refrigerators for the people that live on base. Because what is this? Sorry, that was a bougie little comment of mine.
Oh, y'all, you have to see it. It's like a 4x4.
No, literally. You put your eggs in it and it's like, oh, busting out of like the seams. Yeah, and then I also had someone come to me and say like, you know, I just get really overwhelmed if I am trying, you know, a new recipe. And it's an ingredient that I don't normally have or whatever. So when I see it in my pantry and I get overwhelmed because I'm like, oh, like what? I don't know, like it just starts getting fuzzy. And I was like, okay, let's do this. Like, let's get a box or some sort of container and put it in your pantry or wherever you store your groceries and put the new ingredients in that one. That way all the newness is in one little area and it doesn't overwhelm you. That way, like, you can go to your new box, you can call it whatever you want, and just be like, okay, now I can do this. Like, the pantry is in working order and I can go to this small little area and see, you know, if I want to be adventurous tonight or not, if you feel up for it or not. And then pre-portioning your snacks. So grab and go options, so that reduces your overwhelming mindset. Cause I am the worst at picking what to eat for a snack if I'm already like really hungry. And some grocery shopping hacks: stick to a simple shopping list, get in, get out. And in this day, in the year of our Lord 2025, thankfully there are so many different grocery ordering delivery systems. Instacart, Walmart Plus, Target Delivery. I know Fred Meyer does it. Like, there's so many different options that allow for you to go onto an app and not be overwhelmed. And then the final tip is using a meal planning app to help organize ingredients. Again, I said this is for someone who's a little bit more, is very aware of like their triggers and cues of ADHD, and knowing like if it's in your phone, it won't get lost in the sauce. So just take that one with a grain of salt. But there are a lot of like now meal planning apps that really help organize the different ingredients and things like that if you're someone who doesn't have an issue with using your phone. So at the end of the day, just find what works for you in your brain. Obviously, it's not going to be, everyone who has ADHD is not going to be the same person, right? So not every tip is going to fit your lifestyle. Experiment with what I've said and tweak until you find a system that feels right for you. I mean, acknowledging that you're like, okay, I need help in this area, there is a deficit here, that's like step number one. And that's a huge undertaking in and of itself, is realizing like, okay, I need help with this. Let's figure it out. So, but with that, we're officially wrapping up season one of Dish and Nutrition. Love that. It's been honestly incredible, and learning even how to be into this podcasting space. I just want to say thank you so much to everyone who like tunes in, whether it be my mom each week, sharing your thoughts and honestly just being part of like this new community ? But, and I also want to give a very special shout out to Emma. As you know, this is her last episode and I have to share it with the Air Force, which is really lame, but she's going on to really cool things and Turner's going to crush it there. And while we're sad to see her go, I'm really thankful for all the insight, laughter, commentary, and wisdom she's brought to this show. So Emma, as a token of appreciation, you don't have to open it, but I got you a little card because you're moving. And I was like, gonna get you something. And I was like, that is such a jerk move of me to know you're about to move and give you something else to move. So I got you a small card. So, she's also incapable of taking a compliment. She will always be a part of the Dishon family. But don't worry, this isn't goodbye. Like I said, I'm going to take a short break to kind of recharge, replan, restructure, and bring back a new season two full of fresh topics, maybe guests, and even more of the real practical conversations you guys love. So stay tuned and I'll be back in a few weeks. I'm not going to give a hard number because I don't know. But in the meantime, if you enjoyed season one, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and binge watch any others that you haven't listened to. And follow us on Dish and Nutrition Podcast or Nutritional Sarah so you don't miss any updates of when season two is going to be live. And if you have any ideas or topics you want to hear in season two, please send them my way. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this journey. I can't wait until to see what season two is going to bring. But until then, take care, stay curious, and I'll see you in season two. Wait. And with that,
the 2022
season. No, not the TikTok sound. And with that, you've been dished.
Dishon fam, I just want to hop on here and say, I know you can't hear Emma about the second half of the episode. I think something happened with her microphone and we didn't realize it until it was too late, but I'm going to press forward and just go ahead and publish this just because unfortunately she's about to travel and We don't have a chance to re-record, and I do want to get this out for you guys. So it is in true Dish and Nutrition fashion that I messed something up before the end of the season one finale, but it just keeps us real and it keeps us realistic. So appreciate your patience. And if you listen really hard, you'll be able to hear her a little bit, but I had to cut her out in a few places because it was impossible to hear her, and it just sounds like I'm talking to myself. So I had to kind of make the executive decision on that, but just know she was there giving some commentary, and you can hear her a little bit, but I do apologize for that little technical mishap.